Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Swung at light drive, base hit up the alley in right center. It'll be cut off by Batista. Napoli is coming home to score. How about that? The big man steals a base, and then Jose Ramirez gets his first hit of the championship series, and the Indians lead it 4-2.
And that's Tom Hamilton with a call on the Indians Radio Network. Now one game away from the World Series and playing in a few minutes in Toronto for the chance to go to the World Series with Game 4 coming up in just a few minutes. We bring in now my outstanding broadcast partner for many years, more than we want to say, Jack Hamm. And first of all, let's start with this premise. I know you had a big meeting today. I would trust that maybe Mr. Mueller was at that meeting, and I wonder if there was success.
Well, you were wrong about this one, Steve. I was at the Mueller venue, but Ron was not here. I had some friends in for a grudge match, and we used the Ron's Chartier Country Club as the course of choice. So, not today. He was out there working.
Wow. First for Mueller. All right. Okay. So, So the timing of the bye week for Penn State, you know, last year it was really late, and you and I didn't like the timing. What did you think about this one?
Well, this one is good. I think, obviously, Steve, number one, for the linebackers alone, to get this bye week, and especially before you play Ohio State, I think it couldn't have worked out better for Penn State to get over some of the bumps and bruises they have. Although offensively, they started to really get into a rhythm, and so it just gave them an opportunity and also prepare for an outstanding Ohio State football team. So this is right, I think, where a lot of teams really would like halfway in your season to get that bye week.
When you have a young football team, a really young football team, which Ohio State has in many ways, I look at them and I see a veteran quarterback, a veteran center who makes all the line calls, a veteran middle linebacker, and a shutdown corner. How much does that help a young football team move forward?
Oh, that is huge. You can talk about a young team, and all of a sudden you have Barrett back there, the quarterback, making all the right decisions, especially in a tough game on the road. You know, you'll probably keep that whole offense together. You know, they get down early against Wisconsin. They hang in there and they hang in there. You know, that's what a veteran team would do on the road in the Big Ten is, you know, have to keep their poise and then go forward and end up winning the game in overtime. But you're right, this is such a young football team. But, yeah, they're a veteran in the right spots, especially on the offensive side at quarterback. And, you know, Barrett has just showed me so much running that read option, how he's able to do that and make the right decisions, when to run with the football. I think, it's true passing. I think he's got some issues there. But I think the way he runs that offense right now, that's where you want your veteran. And he's done a great job, especially on the road in the Big Ten.
I think when I've looked at Ohio State on tape, I felt that their three linebackers were the strength of that defense. When you watch those three linebackers, what impresses you?
Well, I think what impressed me with the linebacker, the great speed they have and the closing speed on, you know, running backs and wide receivers. But, you know, quietly that front four for them has done an outstanding job as well. I mean, those linebackers are making plays going downhill towards the line of scrimmage. So I always tell people, you know, you're as good a linebacker as the front four you have in front of you. And it just seems like every year, defensively up front, they can do the job. And then, not only the linebacker, but that secondary, you know, that secondary along with Michigan are the two best secondaries in college football. And they challenge every receiver out there. So if you're going to make completions downfield, and they'll mix it up too. They'll play a little bit of zone and end up getting interception because of that. But they are so good back there, and they pressure every wide receiver that going to be a big challenge for our wide receivers this week against Ohio State.
All right, Trace McSorley now goes into his seventh start. What's the progress that you've seen from him, Jack?
Well, I think the progress I've seen, especially in the last couple of weeks, getting real comfortable in that read option, getting real comfortable in using, you know, whoever they're going to option off of, holding it in there with Barkley for a long period of time. Also, the idea of with him running the football, I think, was key in really getting this offense into some balance, using Barkley more as a decoy in a lot of plays, whether it's on the read option or sometimes into the outside, taking a swing pass to him and then throwing it down the middle of the field. So it's an offense, you know, Steve, you can't just learn that in camp or spring practice or whatever. You've got to go out there in game-type situations. So it seems like right now, halfway through the season right now, it's sort of getting real comfortable, and that offense is getting a lot better.
Defensively, against Maryland 2 weeks ago, they gave up 270 yards, 66 on one play. So the other 53 plays, they gave up 204 yards. You know, Brent Pry's had to do a lot of things to make this work. What's working now for them?
Well, I think the defensive line, again, is starting to really get some pressure on the quarterbacks. Sickles on one side and Schwann on the other. All of a sudden, they're collapsing pockets or getting to the quarterback. In the last couple of games, playing with a little bit of a lead, that also helps as well. And you're getting some push up the middle as well. I mean, when you get away with a four-man rush and not have to bring the safety, not have to bring a corner blitz or whatever, you know, you can drop guys back in coverage. And we're doing a much better job against the running game. You know, you're right. We gave up that one screen pass, which I thought we had an opportunity to make that play for a two-yard loss. It ends up going all the way for a touchdown. So you got to clean up that stuff. It's starting to tackle a little bit better than they had early in the year right now. So, you know, it's like every offense, defense right now, halfway through the season, they're starting to get into a rhythm. And like I said, they're going to need that against Ohio State.
I mentioned the Ohio State linebackers earlier, and you and I have talked about Raekwon McMillan now. This is 3 years we've talked about him. On Penn State's side, Brandon Smith, what are the qualities that you see in Brandon Smith that make him an effective linebacker at this level?
You know, Steve, to be effective, I think, number one, you have to be instinctive. I think you have to see it on the field, and you have to react a split second quicker than maybe other linebackers will do that. And for some reason, without having a lot of playing time, Brandon Smith has that kind of feel for it. And, we talk about feel for it on punt returns. Well, the linebacker is the same thing. You've got to anticipate. I'm not saying guess on plays, but you have to anticipate when you see a combination route in the secondary and you see a running play coming towards you, and you don't hesitate. You hit it at a high speed, so you're making a tackle in the hole, not catching downfield. All those instinctive things that you need for a good linebacker, Brandon Smith seems to be able to do that right now, and he's making a lot of plays all over the field.
When Penn State beat Ohio State in that memorable game in 2005, Calvin Lowry had a big interception. He ran back to the 2 or 3 yard line, but it was Paul Posluszny that made the play because he made the proper drop and the proper depth of a drop. Is that one of the more difficult things for a linebacker in today's game to do?
Steve, with all the spread offenses right now, and we've seen a couple of times, I think, in the broadcast where there's quick, skinny posts.
Yeah.
That your corner's got an outside technique, and all of a sudden that ball's on a line to that wide receiver. Those are the plays that linebackers have to get underneath to make that ball go either go over their head, or if it's on a line like that, you have a great chance of an interception. Navarro Bowman did that as well as anybody as a Penn State linebacker, breaking on a ball on an in route from a wide receiver. You know, that's not a corner. That's not the safety. That is linebackers getting their proper depth, reading the quarterback, reading his eyes, and again, that comes with experience in the passing game, but those are the plays that our linebackers, I think, in the second half of the season, I think are going to start making. Manny Bowen on the outside as well. Those kind of drops, I think right now they're getting the feel for that in the passing game, and I think they'll do a better job in the second half of the season.
In today's power football in the spread, if the quarterback's going to keep, it's actually the running back, a Barkley or a Mike Weber, that actually ends up being the lead blocker. Like, they're the fullback in that particular play for him. Have you seen the progress of Barkley as a blocker improve as the season's gone along?
Steve, not only on the running plays like you're talking about, but also on protection. He's done that a couple of times for McSorley when people are trying to bring pressure off the edge, and he stays in there. And he's not cutting people where they still get to the quarterback diving over a running back who does want to take somebody on high, especially a linebacker. But Barkley's been able to do that, come up, set, you know, at the line, and either pick up a safety, pick up a linebacker coming off the edge, and give McSorley just that time he needs. You know, those are, you know, plays where running backs who have normally, they carry the ball so much in high school, and it's a key part of their offense is running with the football. Once you get to big-time college football, you got to pass, protect, and block like that. And Barkley, you know, he's one guy to, you know, Steve, he will do anything to have this football team win, whether he has to carry the ball 30 times or protect or block for somebody else, he'll end up doing it.
Jack, I want to go back to Barrett for a moment. You and I have talked about the timing on the RPO that everybody's using across the country. When you watch the timing of the way Barrett runs it, what impresses you?
Well, again, a veteran quarterback like Barrett, when he comes to the line and he sees the defense, I mean, a lot of times he gets a really good pre-read and he understands where he's going to end up attacking. I mean, one of the drives against Wisconsin last week where, you know, they had fourth down, I think, twice on the one drive. It was like a 13-14 play drive, just making those right decisions downfield. I mean, he throws the football good enough, you know, in the offense that he has, but the way he's able to make the right decision on all of those running plays and knowing a lot of times when to just keep the football, get first downs, and, you know, that's just a veteran quarterback that, you know, McSorley will get there. He's not there yet, but I think in time, McSorley will be able to make those kind of decisions and the right decisions as well.
What does a sellout crowd and the night game at Beaver Stadium mean?
It means for the players out there that you get so many opportunities to play in a big-time college football atmosphere. You're playing against an outstanding, ranked, whether it's number two or three, whatever the case may be, in the country. You know they're a good football team. You know you're going to have to play your best game to stay on the field and beat this football team. And with that whiteout and 110,000 fans out there, I mean, that's an adrenaline rush for players out there, especially when they come out of that tunnel on Saturday night for this football game. I mean, they will be on an emotional high.
I mean, little things, you know, add up to big things. And we know that the kicking game for Penn State, the punt part of the game, has really hurt them at times. What is, you know, Johnston is great. I mean, he's averaging over 50 yards a punt. What is Gilligan meant, and what is the judgment of Reed meant on punt returns?
Well, I think we all expected Gilligan to be an outstanding punter, and he's not disappointed us at all. But I didn't know that John Reed would be that kind of a feel for it on punt returns. He's made some big plays, but also making right decisions. He has the good hands back there. But it's really the decision-making. We've had some issues when guys didn't call for a fair catch, should have called for a fair catch, you know, called it, and maybe they should have just not done it and had a chance for a return. Reed has made all the right decisions and when to call for the fair catch. And when he gets the football and he realizes he can't get the outside, he'll get whatever he can get upfield so you don't get a block in the back and then set yourself back in poor field position. But I don't think you can teach this, Steve. I think John Reed just kind of has that kind of feel for it and anticipates as a punt return guy. And I think we're fortunate to have a guy back there right now. I'm concerned because he's an outstanding starting corner and we don't have somebody else who can do this, but Reed's the man right now, and I think he'll be the guy the rest of the year.
And we talked about Jordan Lewis. I mentioned Conley in an earlier question. Is Reed starting to move himself into one of the better corners in the conference?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, this is where, you know, we talked to Franklin after the game, how in press coverage, he just, you know, he's not a big physical, you know, bump you at the line of scrimmage, but he just shadows you and runs with you, knows when to turn back to the football. You know, you don't see him getting pass interference calls. He knows when to turn back, when to get his hand in there, when the wide receivers, you can see his eyes when the football is coming to him. He's always in really good position. You know, Steve, I know we have great coaches out there, but he came as a freshman, and you could see it last year, that he was a cut above coming in and playing corner as a true freshman like he did last year and doing an outstanding job. And so right now, he just increases a little what he's got to do for the football team other than corner and with punt returners. But he just has that kind of, again, a feel for when to look back for the football. It's a sense he has where other players aren't that, and they end up getting pass interference calls. So he's turning into one of the best corners Penn State's had in a long time.
Finally, when you get into a big game like this in a big atmosphere, there's a lot of emotion with it. How does a player need to approach it? Because it's going to be a 3 to 3.5 hour night.
Well, I think you can use the emotion to the point where it you want it to help you in this football game. But you don't want to get to the point where you are just, you're out there and you're in an emotional frenzy, and then you end up making mental mistakes. That's a fine line, and that's where coaches really know how to really pull it back a little bit on some of your players, because you don't want them to be just over the top emotional in the game. You got to still be somewhat structured and also disciplined in what you have to do out there. But I think just coming into this game with Ohio State, a great football team, playing this thing at home right now, I think this whole football team, from offense, defense, special teams, will just be fired up for this game. And I look for Penn State to really play well.
Well, I'd mentioned the forecast for Saturday night, but you and I know certain things are sacred.
That is true. You do not want to take Jack Dams and Thunder. That's right.
We cannot do that. Partner, thanks. It's always great. We'll see you.
All right. Steve, see you on Saturday. Take care.
Jack Ham has made my life easier for almost 20 years. I mean, seriously. I got the best broadcast situation in the country. Ron Cook next half hour. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Okay, Ron Cook next half hour. Talked to him about the Roethlisberger situation. I mean, I bring up Landry Jones's name, and all I get from you is a grunt.
That's like what Neil Coulong said last hour. It's a step down, that's for sure.
You've had him for how many years now? Your guys can't train him?
That was the hope when he got drafted.
Boy. Yeah, okay. When he was drafted, I said, no. I'm like, thanks. It's really, wow. Well, let's see. We'll check in on what's going on with the baseball playoffs. I realize no local teams are involved, but the Indians and the Jays. Indians are trying to get to the World Series, and this has been a remarkable story. They are scoreless at the end of one in Toronto. Now, I have no idea what they're going to do bullpen-wise, because they had to use almost everybody last night. Dodgers play the Cubs tonight. Joe Maddon switched his lineup. Ben Zobrist will bat third. Anthony Rizzo fourth. And Javi Baez moves up to fifth. They're not going to start Jason Hayward. Jorge Soler is going to start in right field. Addison Russell's dropped to seventh. Miguel Montero will catch for Jake Arrieta. They're looking for more offense. Part of the offense, by the way, is going to be generated for the Cubs and the fact that Clayton Kershaw is not pitching. Microsoft has released the following statement after Bill Belichick's remarks today on giving up on the usage of sideline tablets. We respect Coach Belichick's decision, but stand behind the reliability of Surface. We continue to receive positive feedback on having Surface devices on the sideline from coaches, players, and team personnel across the league. In the instances where sideline issues are reported in NFL games, we work closely with the NFL to quickly address and resolve. He says they keep going out, and so to heck with it. I don't want to do it. Hey, if it's not working, what are you supposed to do? Keep your mouth shut? If it's not working, it's not working. So there you go. You'll probably notice I'm done with tablets, Belichick said. I just can't take it anymore. He was showing a TV smashing one to the ground.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I always laugh about that Monty Python skit because at one point he warps into, "You're an idiot, you're a jerk." He goes, "Oh, that's kind of a rough argument." He says, "Oh, I'm sorry, this is abuse. Arguments are down the hall." All right. Today we're brought to you by our good friend Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. I don't know whether it's Jose Bautista for his veiled reference to the umpiring in the American League Championship Series, or whether it's Major League Baseball, who doesn't assign umpires based on merit. Major League Baseball says they give the assignments to, quote, the most deserving. What does that mean? It's another twist and turn of the language to make you think it's good. All right. Always most deserving and always a pleasure to be around and talk with, listen to. That's Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also hosts his own show in Pittsburgh, which I've had the privilege of listening to many times and does a great job. Cookie, welcome back. It's great to have you back on board with us.
Well, Steve, I got to admit, you scared me a little bit when you said it was time for your bozo, sports bozo of the day. I thought that's how you were going to introduce me, and I was getting a little worried there.
Never, my man,
going,
never.
My
you know me better than that.
It's always good to join you. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well. Just had Hammer on just a little bit ago, so get you and Hammer back to back. It's not a bad day when that happens.
Well, I'm privileged to be in the same hour with the great Jack Ham, always one of the greatest Steelers of all time.
Hey, you were the one that got the story on Ben Roethlisberger. So, I mean, how's that developed since? I mean, exactly where is he? And, I mean, how long might he be out, considering it didn't appear to be major surgery but a cleaning?
Well, I mean, he's home in his North Hills home recovering. Had the surgery yesterday, torn meniscus. He's hoping, I know, to be back. See, they're fortunate. They have New England at home this weekend. They're not fortunate for that, but they have that game. And then they have their off weekend the next weekend, and then they go to Baltimore on November 6th. So he's hoping to be back for that Baltimore game. We'll see. Literally, Tomlin said today, other than rolling him out, he can't put a timetable on. I think, you know, every guy recovers differently. I just know Ben is one of the toughest competitors I've ever been around. He went back into the game and played the second half on this torn meniscus the other day. So if it's just a matter of pain, I would think he has a decent chance of coming back for that Baltimore game.
I know he's a backup. He's a backup quarterback. But why hasn't Landry Jones, in your opinion, made any strides being in the same group and getting the coaching every day? I mean, he's not going to be a starter or a superstar, but why hasn't he progressed?
Well, they thought he was last year. Ben missed four games, and actually, you know, they were so down on Landry that they brought in Michael Vick, you know, to much consternation around town. Vick played okay in a game in San Diego, helped him win, and then got hurt early in a game against Arizona. And Arizona was really good last year, and Landry came in off the bench and led him to a really nice win. So now everyone's kind of high on him. Then he starts in Kansas City, and he doesn't play well, throws a couple of interceptions. Ben comes back, gets hurt in the playoff game against Cincinnati, and barely could throw the football, yet Landry was so bad that they put Ben back in late. And that's when he, you know, couldn't even throw the ball 10 yards. But perfect, and Pac-Man Jones saved him with those stupid penalties. And after the season, Tomlin didn't give Jones much of a review, but then he showed up at camp, Jones did, and played okay, won the backup job. They were kind of hoping probably that he wouldn't have to play. You always hope that Ben never gets hurt, but they also had Bruce Gradkowski here, and they thought they were going to be okay with backup quarterbacks, but Gradkowski got hurt and then released after a long series of injuries. So Landry is what they have. They're hoping with a week of practice with the first team, he'll be okay. Tomlin said something interesting today, though, which kind of damned him with praise. He said, it's not what he knows, it's what he can execute well. I mean, he's a great student of the game. He'll be prepared, but he can't do everything Ben can, but then again, who can? He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
One thing about Roethlisberger and watching him, you know, we know the TV ratings have slid back. They're down. Roethlisberger, when he plays the game, I enjoy watching him play because he takes shots. He takes chances. There's a little bit of a reckless abandon to him. Overall, has this league, the way they approach things in terms of scheme, become too safe?
I'm not quite sure. You're talking about, you know, what they're changing.
Oh, you know, it's third down 11. I throw a 5-yard pass and hope he can get there. It's third down and 10. I throw a 7-yard pass. He doesn't get there. They're always trying to stay away from turnovers.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt there's probably some teams, but I don't know that that's the case with Ben and the Steelers. I mean,
that's what I mean, though, Ron. I think they're fun to watch because he doesn't do that.
Well, Todd Haley's the offensive coordinator, and he doesn't either. On many occasions, on third and one, they'll throw a 50-yard pass.
Right.
They feel like Ben's good enough, Antonio Brown is good enough, that they can pull it off. Last year when they had Martavis Bryant, they felt like they could pull it off. So, Tomlin's always quoted as saying, I don't live in my fears. They're pretty good about taking chances like that. But sometimes it's not smart either. You have to play situational football. Ben, it's unfortunate he got hurt. He was playing the best football of his career. There was people talking about, you know, him perhaps being an MVP candidate. If he misses a game or two, probably won't get it. But his whole thing is, give me wins and Super Bowls. I can care less about MVPs.
When Bell's been out there, what kind of domino effect has he meant for the offense?
He's a terrific player. Great runner, great receiver. I think clearly the best overall running back in the league. Now, he's had some dependability issues, obviously, with these two suspensions for marijuana the last 2 years. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with him at the end of the season. He's unrestricted free agent. I don't know that they're going to make a multi-year commitment to him because of his past. They could franchise him for 1 year or even 2 years. He's just really a fine player. He's as good a receiver as he is a running back. In fact, Ben, a couple weeks ago on our radio show, we have our show. Ben is on our airways on our show, and says he's the second best receiver they have, which I guess is either a great tribute to Bell as a running back or maybe an indictment of the other receivers after Antonio Brown.
Well, I know Jack Ham has said to me many times, Ron, that Bell runs routes like a wideout runs routes. He's not a running back that goes out and just floats out of there or
right.
Circles or rounds a route. He runs routes precisely like a wideout does.
He absolutely does. That's what I mean. I think that's why Ben called him the second best receiver on the team.
All right, the best receiver is Antonio Brown. You know, when you watch him a lot, I mean, when you watch him, what makes him and his feel for the game and his feel for coverage, what separates him from other people?
Well, first of all, you know, his work ethic is second to none. He's the hardest worker on the team. What he does isn't by accident. Obviously, he has great skill, great hands. He catches everything, runs good routes. The teams are really starting to take him away. He only had 4 catches in Miami the other day. And there's a problem with him. He's something of a diva. He pouts when he's not a big part of the offense. You're reading all this stuff about Odell Beckham Jr. in New York. Well, we're seeing some of that here with Antonio. If it's not shoes, it's excessive celebrations, it's pouting on the field. I just wish he would be a little less of a look at me guy. But I've already said to me he's a better wide receiver than Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, which is a mouthful for air, but I could do it without some of the ancillary stuff.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Defensively, I know they've had a couple guys really banged up. Shazier's been banged up. Hayward's a bigger loss, I think, than people realize. So where are they defensively right now?
They weren't very good with those guys. And I shouldn't say that. They've been very good in the red zone, and they've been very good keeping teams from scoring points. And that's the number one stat for me. I think they're 11th in the league in points allowed. But they get no pass rush. They have hardly any turnovers. The combination is bad. Cam Hayward is a wonderful player. People are talking here about Ben being out. That's true. That's the biggest loss. But you're right. Nobody realizes how good Hayward is. And Shazier's probably their second best defensive player. There's a chance he's going to play this week. Hayward is out. The secondary is just not very good here. And Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator, is afraid to call many blitzes because it puts those guys, one-on-one, and he doesn't feel like, at least my interpretation, he doesn't feel like they're good enough to cover very long. And the problem is no pass rush. It's not a very good defense right now, but it doesn't have to be great as long as Roethlisberger and the offense is healthy, because they can score 30 points a game, although they weren't very good in Miami the other day, even before Ben got hurt.
Over the last 20 years, Ron, what's become more enjoyable about your job? And at the same time, not as a complaint, but what's been just tougher about the job that you do?
That's a hard one, Steve. I love everything about my job except the travel. I hate that now. Right. I hate flying. Terry, we have a dream schedule for the Steelers this year. I just came off the plane about midnight this morning from Fort Lauderdale. It's the only flight I have this year with them. Everything else is a drive. I love that. So the travel was by far the worst part, and it's a different world now, dealing with the athletes. And, in the old days, I think they needed, maybe even appreciated, media coverage. Now they make so much money, they don't need that. And they basically don't care. There's so many more media now. There's so many bloggers out there, people that I don't believe have a right to be, shouldn't even be in the locker room. And they are, so that's changed a lot. But you can call me an old dinosaur, I guess, because you know why? I'm an old dinosaur. So,
well, actually, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that I think one of the toughest things that a publicity department has to do these days, Ron, whether it's on a college or a pro level, is to determine who's legit media and who's not.
Right. There's just so many more people in there now. I covered, Jim Leland's high on my all-time list of people to deal with. I remember being able to walk into his office and talk to him one-on-one for 15 minutes. And now you just don't get that. There's just so many people around. Everything's done in a group. And, you're fortunate to build relationships over the years. And, I have a great one with Roethlisberger, so I can go to him at any time. But those are few and far between. You just don't do that anymore. And I think I miss that aspect of it a lot. That makes it not nearly as much fun.
How much have you enjoyed the radio part of it?
Oh, I love it. I love talking sports. I get paid to do it. I can't believe it. In 6.5 years, we started the Fan here in Pittsburgh in February of 10. So here we are in 2016. They haven't got rid of me yet. I'm thankful for that. But I know it's a we love you, we love you, we love you, don't come back tomorrow business. So I don't take anything for granted. But we started as nothing, and now we become the station of choice in Pittsburgh. And guys like Jack Hamill come on with me. You've been on with me. I mean, we've had Jerry West on and Joe Namath. And
wow.
I mean, it's just an incredible the list of Hall of Famers we have now. We have, as I said, this is a fourth year. We have the Ben Roethlisberger Show. He's a Hall of Famer. So it's really come a long way. I love it. I love the radio. I'm sure you do, too. And in a place like Pittsburgh, there's always something to talk about. And that's the beauty of it. There never seems a dull moment, that's for sure.
Well, always high on my like list and always very high on my respect list. Cookie, it's always great to hear from you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. You know how much I enjoyed it.
All right, Steve. I'll talk to you soon, man. Stay well, my friend.
You too, my friend. Thank you. Ron Cook, man, I've just, known Ron for a long time. Ron has always, always, always treated me really, really well. Really well. So, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, another boring one for you today. Neil Coulong, Jack Ham, Ron Cook. We'll try and do another dull one for you tomorrow. Tony Knopp, Stanley Jackson. We got a lot going on the show. A lot going on. And high school football previews on Friday. And we're actually still working, by the way. And I've been working through Danny Pascarillo, the punting guru in Australia for all these punters. And Cameron Johnson's from Australia. Danny Pascarillo's from Australia. Is actually going to be here on Friday. Now, we're trying to work out the timing as to when he gets in, because we'd like to get him on the show. And Danny's been helping us to try and do that, which I appreciate very much. Now, whether we can pull it off or not, I don't know. It remains to be seen. I guess one of the vice presidential candidates is going to be here on Friday. He's out. we'll do open lines. It's either the Australian punning guru or open lines. We're not going to get into that this time, right? But yeah, see, he's supposed to be coming in for the weekend for the game, so we're trying to work that out. Trying to work that out. And don't forget, we're heading into, what, week 9 of the high school football season?
Yeah, hard to believe. Cruising into the postseason, and keep tabs on the district playoff point picture and figure out the matchups as we get closer.
And again, the fan poll.
That could happen.
I mean, the fan poll. I mean, Frelazzo or... it's been so long since he's been on. The guy that was on before.
Kevin.
Yeah, that might be it.
Cleveland nothing, Toronto nothing, top of the third.
Oddly enough, our fan poll, that's not the score right now. Mike's like, I think I'm being used as a pawn. then there's the suit. I can't believe they pick on me. I'm wounded. Oh, mercy me. By the way, Bucknell Saturday, 1 o'clock Lafayette at Mathewson.
I'll be homecoming for Bucknell. Of course, Eagle 107. Yeah. We'll have Coach Joe Susan on with Doug and Kev at 12:30.
Good. Yep. Looking forward to that.
Yep, yep.
Very much. So, looks like you might be close to getting... Todd Blackledge on, huh?
Hopefully next week. Yes, we're working on that, and also working on Michael.
I've heard of him.
You have? Yeah. It goes back a couple decades. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard it.
And we were hoping, too, We were working on Todd Blackledge. When we were doing all the Penn State interviews a month ago leading up to the 50th anniversary of Joe's first game as head coach, we were trying to get Todd Blackledge, and also we were working on Michael Robinson, so from NFL Network Now, and he's on Game Day First on Sunday mornings, the 7 o'clock show, and we're hoping for Michael for next week, too.
How about Friday we have Kajana Carter on?
Hey!
All right. How about that? Let's do that. Let's have Kajana Carter on Friday. I just got a confirmation for that.
Excellent. Yeah, he's now doing some college football analyst work on BN Sports.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, along with OJ McDuffie.
Yep, OJ McDuffie.
Wonderful.
No, we are actually still working on Joe Buck. We're still working on that.
Yeah, he actually has a new book. He's going to be bringing a new book out next month, so we'll keep working on that too.
Good. But, Kajana Carter joins the mix. So Tony Knopp, Stanley Jackson, Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, Paul Keels, play-by-play voice, Ohio State.
And we haven't even mentioned your brother yet.
Kajana Carter. Well, we saved the best for last.
Yeah.
Kajana Carter.
You're closing in on him in the picks.
And my brother on the show. And by the way, Thursday's show does include Mike Ferlazzo with his out, and really he handles that part of it really, really well. He actually answers the questions.
No sidestepping his moves, you've noticed?
Well, no, ask one question and then I'm going to show you everything I prepared for the game. I got it. You know, you know the suits at home listening to this, right?
He's just shaking his head.
And this is not aiding his recovery. In fact, I got a note from his doctor knocking off. What are you sending me the note for?
He's on his third pillow.
Yes, but it's Mike Lindell's My Pillow. Made in Minnesota.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.